Good morning, everyone. Good morning. All righty. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our service today. We have our Master Life class at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I look forward to seeing y'all there. We're having fun with this. We're in book number 3, and soon we'll be getting to the final book, and I am seriously looking forward to it. Wednesday at 6 p.m., we gather to pray. We have a new format of prayer night, and I invite each and every person to it, and let's just be together as a family and pray as we have been equipped to do. Friday at 10:30 is women's Bible study right here in the common area. All the ladies are more than invited to be here. And I ask that you do so in order to learn exactly what God is wanting us to learn. You know. Also, we have people on the prayer list, and I would ask that you continue praying for each of the individuals here. Also, those who are not here present today and on Sundays, if you could keep them in prayer. You know, there's reasons for it, and, you know, just pray that the Lord will allow those reasons to go away so that they can be back with us, fellowshipping with us. All right, so hurricane situation. We are taking up donations the entire month of October, and we are going to send it to Samaritan's Purse. And put it in their hurricane disaster fund so that they can help the people in need. And so if the Lord is guiding you to do so, on the envelope, just write down hurricane, and we'll know exactly where it's going to. And in November, we are going to collect all of it and send it all out in bulk. So please... keep it in prayer, and you know, whatever the Lord is guiding you to do, just be obedient. Also, there is a first annual community carnival that I believe it's the school district that's putting it together, and it's going to be at the high school. Keep that in prayer because we are a vendor at that carnival. We're going to have the Baptist Association trailer up here, and we're going to spread the gospel to as many people as we can at the first annual community carnival. So let's keep that in prayer, and I also would like to ask for volunteers for that, because not only am I going to need a little bit of help on that night, but also for cleanup. We have to make sure it's going to be at where the football field is. So we have to make sure that it gets cleaned back up for the football game the next day. But that is going to be on Thursday, October 24th, between 5 and 7 p.m. at the high school. And whomever is able to come and help, please do so. And I look forward to meeting the people of the community more and more. So, you know, keep that in prayer. The Good News Rescue Mission is doing some great work right now. Ryan, would you like to share?
Yes. I haven't gotten a phone yet, but I believe he's had our goal. $1,000
to 50 people. I will be ordering the bread. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Okay, so every time I get up here, I am so nervous. I'm always forgetting things. So is there anything that I may have forgotten or I just don't know about that you would like to share or announce? Anything at all? No?
I don't have a
date, but remember the... Yes, I will do my very best to get that in there. Yes, I forgot about that.
We'll get that tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, we'll get it all figured out one way or another. All right. Anything else? Brother Gary, can you open us up in prayer, please?
First Corinthians 6:19-20 and Psalm 99:5. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought for a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy.
Yeah.
Titus 2:13-14. We await the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep.
Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to our services today. Welcome to everyone here in person and online. Thank you for joining us today. I want to start things off today with an obvious fact. Life gets hard. That's just an obvious fact. When everything seems to not go our way, when it seems like we are constantly getting knocked down in our financial lives, or maybe with our health, maybe you have received some bad news from family members, or there is something that is broken in your home and you just can't find a way to fix it. You can't see how to do that. There are a multitude of reasons to bring us down. And there are so many more reasons to have us think that we can't get back up. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, is I'm going to give you the answers to each of the points of this message right now. Always know this, there are four great reasons to rejoice. Number one, God gives us joyful reunions. Number two, God gives us good results. Number three, God lets us hear good reports. And number four, God will give us rest. There is a joy that belongs to us because we belong to Jesus. And yes, life does get hard, but God gives us great reasons to rejoice. And today's scripture highlights some of those reasons. I'm going to give you a little heads up though. The first reason to rejoice is rejoice first because God gives us joyful reunions. Missionaries Paul and Barnabas started to make their way home in verses 21 and 22 of today's text. And Luke tells us exactly that. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to the city, meaning Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. Let's imagine the joyful reunions that took place as Paul and Barnabas began to go home. I mean, until they got to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, they traveled the exact same route as they went in. They were just doing it in reverse. They followed that same route, talking about the good news of Jesus. And what a blessing that it is to be reunited with family and friends and fellow believers. God gives us joyful reunions, and we know that the best reunion is yet to be when God calls us home to heaven. Church, we can rejoice because God gives us those joyful reunions. But we can also rejoice because God will also give us the good results. How can we sum up this very first missionary trip of Paul and Barnabas? There were certainly some hardships. There were some setbacks. And there were even disappointments along the way. Now, going back to Acts chapter 13 just for a moment, the false prophet Bar-Jesus opposed the gospel. And before the Lord struck him with temporary blindness, in Acts 13:13, John Mark bailed out on the team. He went back to Jerusalem. He couldn't handle the pressures, I guess. And then Paul and Barnabas, they had to face some kind of opposition every single place that they went. Acts 13:45 says, "But when the Jews saw multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul." Acts chapter 14, verse 2 from last week. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren." Acts 14:5. "And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them." And then in Acts 14:19, they actually did stone Paul and left him for dead outside of the city walls. But then what happened in verse 20 last week? The very last verse of last week, Paul rose up and went back into the city. And this is where we pick up today's story. The title of today's message is Reasons to Rejoice. We are continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 14. But this time we're going to do verses 21 to 28. We're going to finish up 14 today. Now, all of that context was some of the bad stuff. Now here's the good stuff. Acts 13:42. "The Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." They wanted to hear the word of God. They were hungry for the word of God. This is their first experience with learning about Jesus. And they wanted more. They wanted to have them come back for more. That's the good part about this. When we share with the world, they receive, they become hungry for their own life. Another part of the good side is the Gentiles heard that the gospel was for them too. It wasn't just for the Jewish communities. It's for everyone. And that is the most encouraging part about this, that it's not just for a certain group of people who are the favored of God, God's people. Because when it comes down to it, we're all God's people. Acts 13:48 and 49, it says, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." Now last week we saw other good things occur. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed." In Acts 14:3, Paul and Barnabas is speaking boldly in the Lord. And God was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Please stand for the reading of God's word for today. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 28. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in their faith, and saying, "We must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commanded to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. You may be seated. There is some tremendous results from this mission trip. But why? Why did Paul and Barnabas have such good results? The answer to that is, well, actually one reason is because they preached the Word of God. They didn't preach their opinions. They preached the Word of God. Verse 25 says, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. Paul and Barnabas firmly stood by the word of God. And we also must stand by that same word. If we want to see real spiritual fruit, we can't deviate from God's word. We have to tell it exactly how it is. God promises us great results. We can find that in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, verse 11, right here, this is where the Lord is speaking. And he says, so shall my word be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We will always be able to rejoice over the way God's word can work in people's lives, but we have to speak it. Truthfully, we have to speak it boldly, and we have to speak it according to His will, not ours. And what is your testimony? Your personal testimony of how God's word made you become overcome with joy. And to rejoice in Him. What was that moment for you? For me, it was when I finally accepted Jesus into my life. And an instant, overwhelming feeling of acceptance came over me. You have to also remember, at that point, I had lived an entire lifetime of rejection. Of hatred, of not being wanted. And here I am feeling accepted for the first time in my life. I felt overwhelmed with the joy in the Lord for finally finding that missing piece. I rejoiced in the Lord, and I continue to do so every single day for accepting me into His family. by Him bringing me the best family I could ever imagine. And by calling me into His ministry, which has led me to the best church. Every bit of that joy came from God's word at work in our world. The second great reason is to rejoice is a question. Why did Paul and Barnabas have such good results? It's because they stood firm and preached that word. And because they were persistent. In verse 26, they completed or fulfilled all the work God had sent them to do. They were persistent. Paul and Barnabas didn't let any hardships or oppositions keep them from doing exactly what God had sent them to do. They didn't deviate from that plan. They didn't do what they wanted to do. They did what God wanted them to do. I was looking up different illustrations to showcase this, and I came across something that was encouraging. And it kind of surprised me a little bit. Dr. Charles McCoy, he was a single man who devoted his years to pastoring a church and pursuing an abundance of educational goals. When he turned 72 years old, his denomination required that he retire from the ministry. He reluctantly left his Baptist church in Oyster Bay, New York. Now, at first, Dr. McCoy wasn't exactly sure what to do with himself. Over the years, he had earned 7 different college degrees. And now, all of those degrees seemed futile. At the time that he was going through this, he wrote, "I just lie on my bed every day thinking that my life is actually over. And I haven't really done anything yet. I have been a pastor of this church for so many years, and nobody really wants me much anymore. And what I have done for Christ. I've spent an awful lot of time working for degrees, but I haven't won very many people to the Lord." And then, just a week after his retirement, Charles met a missionary who invited him to come to India to preach. Dr. McCoy turned him down numerous times because of his age and feeling unwanted. He had never been overseas. He had never traveled across America. He had never even flown in a plane. Charles couldn't imagine traveling to India. And he didn't have the money to do it either. But he couldn't get the invitation out of his mind. So this white-haired preacher announced that he was going to India. Now, he sold his car and his few possessions, and he bought a one-way plane ticket. His friends were horrified to find out where he was going. And they questioned him, "By yourself you're going? To India? What if you get sick? What if you die in India?" And Dr. McCoy's only reply is, "It's just as close to heaven from there as it is from here." He arrived in Bombay with his billfold, his Bible, and his passport, all of which were quickly stolen by pickpocketers. Dr. McCoy was left with only the clothes on his back and the address of some missionaries that he had clipped from a magazine. The man who had originally invited him to India stayed in America. And when Dr. McCoy showed up on the other missionary's doorstep, they didn't know what to do with him. After a day or so, Dr. McCoy told them that he was going to visit the mayor of Bombay And they told him, "Don't waste your time. We have been trying for several years and have never been able to see the mayor." Dr. McCoy prayed about it, and he did it anyways. He presented his calling card to the receptionist. She looked at it carefully, disappeared through a door, and returned and told him to come back at 3 p.m. Dr. McCoy did come back that afternoon to find a reception in his honor, attended by the most important civic leaders in Bombay. The city fathers had been greatly impressed with Dr. McCoy's 6'4" height and his distinguished white hair, but they were especially impressed by the long string of degrees after his name on his calling card. He must be a very important man, they thought, maybe even a representative of the American president. Dr. McCoy spoke for a half an hour, giving his testimony about Jesus. And at the end, he was politely applauded by the crowd. He was approached by a man with an impressive military uniform, who invited Dr. McCoy to speak to the students of his school, which turned out to be India's version of West Point. After his first address, Dr. McCoy was invited back many times. Invitations poured from all over India, and he began a traveling ministry of preaching the gospel and starting churches. His evangelic ministry stretched out for 16 years, and Dr. McCoy saw great results. Why? Because he was persistent about preaching the word of God. Dr. McCoy is living proof that when you think God is done with you, he's not. I have learned through these short 11-ish years in this ministry, as long as you are on this earth, God is not done with you. For his will, his purpose, and his plans. Dr. McCoy learned the hard way, but we need to take the easy route. We need to learn from his example that God will allow changes that we may not like to happen in order to take us out of our comfort zones for him, to work through us in different ways that we may imagine. Also know this, persistence in the unfiltered, full power of God's word is absolutely necessary. Which is why I will always be persistent in teaching and preaching God's word to the fullest for the remainder of my years, for the remainder of my life. Now, the third great reason to rejoice is we can rejoice because God will give us good results. But we can also rejoice because he lets us hear good reports. Paul and Barnabas gave a good report in verse 27 of our text today. And there, God's word says, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God has done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." Notice two great things about their report. Number one, Paul and Barnabas gave all of the glory to God. They didn't take any for themselves. They reported that all that God had done with them. Paul and Barnabas gave all of the glory to God because all of the glory belongs only to God. God created us. God loves us. God sent his son Jesus for us to die on that cross. Jesus rose from the dead, and he is going to save us if we put our full and complete Trust in Him. Thinking about these things, it's easy to give glory to God because of this good report. God's living Son is our living hope. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever. He is the high priest. In the resurrection of Jesus, God gave us an anchor of hope that is strong enough to withstand any hurricane. This hope is the anchor that declares God can overcome my past. God can be with me in the present each and every day. And God has a future for me to be with Him forever. Glory to God for that. Without that, we would have nothing. Without that, we have no hope. We have no existence. And we certainly don't have any happiness. Lisa and I were discussing this after this, and I made a comment that I should have rephrased it first before I said it, but it kind of just came out. And that is, without God in our life, happiness doesn't exist. And it doesn't. This world is not happy. This world brings hatred. It brings everything that is opposite of happiness. We make our own happiness because God gives us that ability. Without God, there is no happiness. Paul and Barnabas, their report was great because it gave all of the glory to God. But it was also great because it confirmed that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And now that is an especially good report for us, because we are the Gentiles. Now, aren't you glad that the good news is for everyone who will receive it? Aren't you glad that we are not outcasted away from it? We are given the same opportunities, the same life. Aren't you glad that the door of salvation has been opened for all who believe? Absolutely. Which leads to the fourth reason. We can rejoice because God lets us hear the good reports. But we can also rejoice because God gives us rest. In verse 28, Paul and Barnabas stayed there a long time with the disciples. One of the most important reasons why they stayed is because they needed, very much needed, rest. And no doubt that they did rest. God knows when we need rest. Whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual rest. And that's why in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here's a fun fact. Did you know that while he was a sitting president, Dwight D. Eisenhower accepted Jesus as his Savior? Yeah. President Eisenhower is the only sitting president to have been baptized while in office. I once read a biography on him when I was at the University of Houston, Clear Lake. And in that biography, it talked about the rest that President Eisenhower was able to find. And even while he led his soldiers in World War II. But of course, every decision during that awful war had monumental consequences. How did Ike deal with the pressure when he was the president, though? Well, he later told his pastor that he didn't try to carry his burden alone. You see, President Eisenhower put into practice a specific verse. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see, some nights when the strain became too great, President Eisenhower would simply just pray this little phrase, Lord, I have done the best I can. You can take over until morning. And then he would go to sleep. It is always best to let the Lord take charge. And he will give us rest when we need it. In conclusion, in these turbulent days of our lives, he will give us the rest that we need. We will find it all too often that our existence gets hard. Sometimes we may not be able to see the times of joy or the times of rejoice. Always know this fact, though. God gives us great reasons to rejoice. Seek out those joyful reunions. Follow His word and His will for good results. Glorify Him in every good report. And let Jesus Christ give you the rest that you desperately need. If you're here today and you're in need of having a reason to rejoice, then come forward and begin a real relationship with Jesus, the Messiah, for your life today. Today is the day to begin having reasons to rejoice in the presence of our Savior, the only Savior of this world, Jesus Christ. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.
I apologize to Cheryl. I see in the bulletin I must have given you the wrong song. So anyway, Psalm 130, verse 5, and Psalm 143, verse 6. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. Run dry. Jesus.